The chippies go after a burglar who swipes plants off highways. John meets the television character H.R. Puffinstuff. A psychic predicts bad luck for Ponch. This is The Overnightscape, online at theovernightscape.com. I am your host, Frank Edward Nora. Tonight's episode number 714. Coming to you from the Overnightscape studio in northern New Jersey. I got it. Finally. I got it. I got something here. Ooh, it's very hot. It's supposed to be hot. I got something that I have never had before. Hot Dr. Pepper made with real Dr. Pepper made with sugar. Yes. Let me smell it here. It smells quite good. I have it in my palm mug. Remember palm? Palm's still around. Made the Trios, the Palm Pilots. They had some retail stores, and they sold these mugs. Palm, established 1992. I went to the retail outlet in Rockefeller Center in New York City before it closed and got this mug. It's an oversized mug. Hot Dr. Pepper used to be advertised. It used to be a seasonal favorite. People would love to drink hot Dr. Pepper. The recipe is very simple. You simply slice a lemon, put it in a mug, heat up some Dr. Pepper in a pan, or you even use a coffee maker. Run it through the coffee maker. It's hot Dr. Pepper. Pour it over the sliced lemon. The problem came when something happened with sugar. Some sort of U.S. government, the sugar lobby convinced them to put some sort of trade barriers on foreign sugar so that they could make more profits. And the soft drink manufacturers responded by getting sugar out of the beverages and putting in this high fructose corn syrup, which is this awful thing. So almost all Dr. Pepper. Now, remember, Dr. Pepper came before Coca-Cola. A couple years, like in the 1800s. One of the first of these soft drinks. It was the people were drinking Dr. Pepper before Coca-Cola ever came into existence. So whenever that was, back in the 80s or whatever, I don't know when, they took the sugar out of the Dr. Pepper and started putting in high fructose corn syrup. It's not like some natural thing. It's not like they just squeeze little kernels of corn and sugar and syrup comes out. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's made through some sort of artificial means. I don't even know how it's made. But the hot Dr. Pepper concept kind of got wrecked because you heat up the Dr. Pepper with the corn syrup and it tastes like crap. Now, there's a few bottling plants left that make Dr. Pepper with pure cane sugar and not high fructose corn syrup. And one of them is in Dublin, Texas. And our good friend Chad from Texas a while back sent me a box containing a lot of beverages, including some Dublin Dr. Pepper, which is very good. I reviewed it on the show. I liked it a lot. And I've been saving a bottle or two so I can make some hot Dr. Pepper with real sugar, which is what I have right here. It's very hot. It's in a big glass, so I put a couple lemon slices in it. Smelling it, it definitely smells good, whereas the one I made with the corn syrup Dr. Pepper just smelled bad. This has a very interesting smell. I'm going to sip some. It's very hot. I put it in a pot and heated it up with a gas range and a flame. Ooh, very nice. My first real hot Dr. Pepper ever. They used to, like, you used to open a magazine, like, you know, what was that? Life magazine, you know, those old magazines. And they'd have an ad for hot Dr. Pepper. It says, make it hot. Back in the days before high fructose corn syrup. That is really good, actually. Really very nice. Tastes nice with the lemon slices. Nice sweet and spicy flavor. Yeah, Dr. Pepper flavor. This is actually really good. Really nice, and you can tell, like, if you had a sore throat or something, this would really help you out. It's just nice. See? It is the corn syrup that wrecked the hot Dr. Pepper concept. This is very good, so I'll be sipping this. Also, with the lemon, I made myself a little bit of lemonade here. I just squeezed the rest of the lemon into the cup here, but now all these lemon seeds in the bottom. Look at all the pulp is suspended. I threw some water, some ice, and one sugar cube. I have sugar cubes for my absinthe drinking. I do have absinthe from time to time. Occasionally. Even though it's technically not allowed in this country, perhaps. I have some lemonade here. Nice. My own lemonade. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. So yeah, this is good stuff. A hot Dr. Pepper. Yeah, sitting here. It's still June 15th, 2008. So I did one show yesterday. I did 7:10 yesterday, and this is the fourth show I'm doing today. Trying to do this one in the more laid-back style. Yeah. Trying to be less frantic about things. We're definitely going to get to this graphics collection today. Definitely got to do that. But first, let's check out the area code of this episode. Area code 714 is in the great state of California. North American area code 714 is a California telephone area code which was split from area code 213 as a flash cut sometime during 1951. It encompasses northern Orange County and a portion of Los Angeles County, including a portion of the city of La Mirada and portions of Chino Hills in San Bernardino County. Cities in the 714 area code include Tustin. Here we go again with the California names. Tustin, Placentia, Anaheim, Buena Park, Cypress, Fullerton, Orange, Garden Grove, Santa Ana, Yorba Linda, Brea, and most of Huntington Beach. The 714 area code once included most of Southern California, generally south and east of Los Angeles, extending to the Arizona and Nevada state lines to the east, and south as far as the Mexican border. What is now area code 619-760 and 909-951 and 858. It experienced several splits, first of which moved San Diego County, Imperial County, and the desert areas of Riverside and San Bernardino counties into area code 619 on November 6, 1982. It was again split, moving eastern Los Angeles and the Inland Empire areas of San Bernardino and Riverside County into area code 909. On November 14, 1992, that was on November 14, 1992. On April 18, 1998, the southern and western cities of Orange County were split from 714, creating area code 949. Now, I was over there at the Podcast Expo a couple years. It's Ontario, California. I think that was the 909, right? Let me see. Ontario, California. But is this like, is this the area code of Disneyland? Didn't we already have the area code of Disneyland? Hold on. City of California website. Okay. You have like contact or something? I just want to see the area code. Contact us. Here we go. They don't have any area codes. They just have... Wow, no area codes. That's odd. I guess I got to try a different tactic here. I just want to know what the area code is of Ontario. Where did I stay? Ontario, Doubletree, right? Maybe I can just find that. I know I stayed in the Doubletree, Ontario. See what the area code is there. If I can find like the 909. Yes. Not 209, 909. A number that appeared in a famous Beatles song. Na-na-na-na, baby, not the one after 909. Right? And the Let It Be album. They said it was a real old song, but they recorded it for Let It Be. 909. There was a Beatles fanzine called 910 because it's the one after 909. Then the one after 910 is 911. Whatever. Yeah. Now, let us look at Disneyland. Like, hold on a second here. Let me try this out. I thought we already had a show where it was like, hey, this is the area code of Disneyland. But now is this it again? Hold on. How do you find the Disneyland phone number? Disneyland, Anaheim, California. Wait a second. Does that make any sense? Look! Disneyland. The phone number. 714-520-5060. Wow. That's it. This is the phone number. This is the area code of Disneyland. Wow, man. I talk about Disneyland a lot on this show. I went there to Disneyland back in 2005 at the Podcast Expo. Becky and Jerry separately took me there to Disneyland. I enjoyed it more than the Podcast Expo, of course. I mean, nothing has a chance against Disneyland. And the other time I went there was on my honeymoon in 1997. So I've been there essentially twice. You know, I wish I had been there more. I feel like I've been there more, but I haven't. I want to go back to Disneyland. I would love to. I'm obsessed with theme parks, Disneyland, dark rides, everything. It's an amazing place. In fact, there's some audio of me at Disneyland. It's going to be in the underground eventually, but right now it's at my temporarily at stationunlimited.com. Let's check out some random audio of me at Disneyland. What do you say? Let's go to Disneyland in area code 714 here on episode 714. There's a thing called Frank's California Podcast Expo Adventure. And I want Disneyland. 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 Interview a soccer girl. What the hell? Where is it? Disneyland, part one. What? Oh, okay, hold on. Part 8, yes. Disneyland Part 2. Let's try that Disneyland Part 3. That might be good. Oh.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, there I am on Pirates of the Caribbean.
So we're right here at the start of the ride. We're in this restaurant right over to my right.
Stay seated, guys. Have a good time.
And I was telling Jerry, I think this is the exact
place. When your boat stops, please.
This is the place I talked about in my science fiction novel, Severe Repair. And specifically about this guy playing the banjo, like a robotic character playing the banjo. All right, so here we go. The sounds of pirates in the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've been talking about my science fiction novel, Severe Repair. And there is a scene that refers to where I am right there, November 12th, 2005, in Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a restaurant, and then it's at the beginning of the ride. The one in California is a lot longer than the one in the Pirates is a lot longer than the one in Florida. But there's like a robotic character playing the banjo. Yeah. It's kind of cool. I feel like I'm in Disneyland now. Really amazing. I don't know why they don't make any more dark rides like this. Just cool, lazy, floating through weird environments, cool environments. Yeah, a couple mini log flumes here and there, whatever.
Here it is. Wow.
you know, it's a constant thorn in my side, and I, many people's side, think how the Disney company could have made Pirates of the Caribbean not based on a movie, not based on cartoon characters, but just a totally original thing, and create such an institution, and yet they cannot, they don't make any more dark rides hardly at all, and if they do, it's only starring movie characters, like Pixar characters. They should just make, they should choose a theme and make a dark ride. Let me fast forward. Oh, that's Star Tours. Haunted Mansion.
And natural wonders of the ultimate California experience.
Oh, it's the monorail.
Across the way is the home of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
I love monorail talk.
The adventures that await you in the Hollywood Pictures background.
Yes, so Dr. Pepper.
We're crossing our own version of the Golden Gate and entering the Golden State. From here, you can catch a glimpse of its famous landmark, Grizzly Peak.
Thank you. So there you go. For all of you in Disneyland, this show is for you. Yeah, in California, Orange County, all that stuff out there. A lot of people are probably out there in the 714. Thanks for listening to the show for such a long time. Thank you very much. Show, this show is for you. I've been sipping the hot Dr. Pepper made with sugar, not corn syrup, and it's been great. So I think now, without any further delays, it is time for the graphics collection. Now, let me describe what this is. I went to this flea market a couple weeks ago, and they had this thing. It was like a binder, but it had all these, like the art from movie posters from like the 70s, but just the art, not any of the graphics or anything. It was really cool. So I asked the guy how much it was. He's like, oh, it's $5. I'm like, all right, I'll take it, you know. And he's like, oh, no, wait. I have one sealed. Take the sealed one. You don't want the one people have been touching. Get the sealed one. So I got a sealed one here. It's a big gray envelope, and it has that sort of linen finish on the paper. It says Graphics Collection in a script typeface, Mohawk Paper Mills Incorporated, Cohoes, New York. And that's it. So I guess I'm going to have to just sort of open this up, you know. It's sealed shut, but how can I do this without, like, destroying it? Let me get the Overnight Skate mini ruler. That's kind of like a little knife kind of thingy. Where is the Overnight Skate mini ruler? Wait a second. Ah, there it is, yes. It's always good to have a metal mini ruler around, I think. I really don't measure things with it. I just cut things with it. Let's try this out here. It's a little messy, but probably like a letter opener would work too. I don't really, this is kind of like a letter opener. Ah. Ah, that'll work. So, yeah, the last time I saw a copy of this was at this flea market. Now, let me take this out here. You know, this is something like, you know, I've worked in the printing industry, the advertising industry. The paper companies, they make things like this, very elaborate things, and they send it to people trying to sell them paper. So here it is. It says R Peak or something, and it's in a weird, like, someone's signature made out of, like, silver pentagons at the movies. And you see, it's black, and you see inside there, like, I think it's My Fair Lady. Was that Rex Harrison and Audrey Hepburn? And it's like it's like sort of like an envelope. Let's open it up. It says Bob Peak. In 1961, Bob Peak was commissioned to create the movie poster for West Side Story. 26 years later, Peak has scores of films to his credit, including My Fair Lady, Camelot, Funny Girl, Apocalypse Now, Superman, Excalibur Reds, the movie, remember that movie, Reds? And to 4 Star Trek films. He is considered by many of his peers as the father of movie poster art. Bob Peake's art has also appeared on more than 40 time covers and in many other national magazines such as Esquire, Life, Look, McCall's. McCall's? What the hell is that? It's like a woman's magazine. Playboy, Sports Illustrated, and TV Guide. He illustrated the largest product ever commissioned by the United States Postal Service to an individual artist, 30 stamps for the 1984 Olympics. And he painted 31 watercolors depicting the history of the Olympics for the book Golden Moments, published by the United States government. Peake also created 6 paintings on the spirit of sport for the 15th anniversary of the Special Olympics. His numerous commendations from the Society of Illustrators. Hey, you know what? I've actually been to the Society of Illustrators. At work, we go there like every year for like a party. That's cool, right? I've been there. What font are they using here? It looks like... I'm thinking... No. Cheltenham? No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I think it is. I think it's Cheltenham. I don't know. Society of Illustrators includes 7 gold and 12 silver medals, the 1968 Hamilton King Award, and induction in the Hall of Fame in 1977. He was named Artist of the Year in 1961 by the Artists Guild of New York and has won over 150 illustration awards from various organizations. Peake has been represented in many exhibits, one-man shows and permanent collections, including at the Smithsonian Institute Portrait Gallery and Time Life, Inc. Bob Peake was born in Denver, Colorado in 1928. He received art degrees from Wichita State University and the Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles. He is also one of the founders of the Illustrators Workshop and is presently involved with the Scottsdale Artists School in Arizona, where he now resides. The enclosed movie posters demonstrate the diversity and craft of one of America's foremost illustrators. And Peake continues to expand and explore his craft in various mediums, from painterly to cartoon to exquisite drawings. Bob Peake is truly one of the best and most versatile names in the business. I had never heard of him before this, but I'll take their word for it. Mohawk Papers is pleased to present a sampling of Bob Peake's extensive movie poster collection in this portfolio. We have selected a variety of whites, textures, and weights to best display the diversity of Peake's illustrative techniques. So yeah, so it's like a paper thing. So let's see what we got in here. Let's see what we got here. So here is like My Fair Lady, I guess. Do they tell you? Oh yeah, they tell you what it is. My Fair Lady, 1964. It's like a, it's kind of a cool drawing, actually. There's like the main characters, and then in the background you see all these like little scenes of from the movie all drawn out. So I don't know where I'm gonna put these things. I'm looking. Oh, cool! There's Spock. Look at this. Oh, here's a really cool. This is really cool for a Star Trek fan. Would love this. I mean, I like Star Trek. To a degree, you know what I mean? I'm not like, I wouldn't consider myself a huge Trekkie, but this is cool though. Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock, it's really cool. It's like there's Spock's face and the Enterprise shooting like a Klingon ship, and there's Kirk and Savick, McCoy, and all of them. But there's no graphics, it's just like the art. It's very beautiful. Let's see what else we got here. What the hell is this? Let me see if I can identify this movie. It looks like Barbara Streisand. Kind of weird art. She's like roller skating. I'm going to guess it's Funny Girl, but I really don't know. Yes, correct. 1968 Funny Girl. Yeah, I'm not really a big Barbara Streisand fan. Believe it or not. Now here is... Oh, this has got to be Apocalypse Now, right? It's just this bald guy putting water on his head. Yes, it's Apocalypse Now. I never saw that. That's a very cool image. You could frame these things. They're very nice. But here's another Apocalypse Now, right? This is the very this is the famous poster. Apocalypse Now with what's his name? Oh God, don't tell me. But this is a great image. But this is without the graphics on it. It's like this like a huge red sun with the helicopters going by, and like the river, and there's like a bridge, and it's. I hate when this happens. It happens a lot. I'm not going to pause the show. I'm just going to sit here and wait until I remember. Why is it that this happens? What am I losing my mind? I'm going to think here. Marlon Brando, yes. I didn't look it up. I just remembered. Marlon Brando, yes. Thank you. Thank you. This is really cool, though. It's very nice. It's on warm white mohawk velvet. Oh, I didn't tell you the paper stocks of these other ones. Hold on. Let's check out the paper stocks here. My Fair Lady was on soft white mohawk superfine. 65 pound. Star Trek was on pure white Irish linen. 80 pound. Very nice. Funny Girl, warm white mohawk, vellum, 65 pound. The first of the Apocalypse Nows is on ultra white Navajo, 80 pound. Apocalypse Now 2 on warm white mohawk, vellum, 65 pound. All right. Now there's more. These are really cool. Like, I think that what makes these interesting is that it's the art without the writing and the graphics. This has got to be Camelot. See, a lot of these I just know because I read that description, right? It's pretty cool. You have, like, the king dude with the facial hair and then some, like, redheaded queen-type woman. And, again, around the edges you have sort of scenes from the movie. Camelot, 1967. Soft white mohawk superfine. look at this. This one may be good to... this may be good to frame. I believe this is Rollerball. Am I correct? Yes. Look at this. Warm white mohawk vellum. It's a gray and black background. There's Paul Newman, right, with his Rollerball helmet and the spiked glove. And down by, and the only other thing in the picture, down by his arm, are those, like, rich people that were, like, running through the fields, like, shooting guns at trees. Remember that? That's a beautiful picture. Rollerball, man. That's great stuff. Now, this one is... this is rough. I think that's... who's that guy? That dancing guy? I think this is Singing in the Rain. Am I right? Pennies from Heaven. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. That's Steve Martin. Oh, this is a whacked out movie, man. I remember seeing this when I was a kid. It was very... It's like a really twisted movie. Steve Martin sings, and he's, like, framed for a murder, and really kind of disturbing me when I was a kid was seeing this movie, Pennies from Heaven. It's a really good image, too. I think it was Gene Kelly, that's who I thought it was, but no, it's, wow, that's a whacked-out movie. Oh, my God, look at this. Again, this is a thing that's something worth framing. Really nicely printed. It's the hell, Clint Eastwood and the orangutan, any which way... But loose? Every which way but loose, yes. It's a great picture. It's a brown background. And there's Clint Eastwood, like, ready to punch someone. And the monkey has his arm around his shoulder, the orangutan. That's a great image. Oh, my God. What was the paper on that one? Cream white tomahawk. Yes. Now, what the hell is this? Oh, this has got to be... I think this is Excalibur. Again, another movie that was disturbing me when I saw it. It's that guy that played Merlin. His, like, eyes are all red, and there's another sunset, and he's a horseman. Excalibur, 1981. Wow. These are really nice for $5. Just, like, these beautiful prints of movie posters. They're, like, around, I don't know, like, somewhere around 11 by 17. 11 inches by 17 inches. Now, here we go. I guess this is a West Side Story. It's a more of a like a stylized, semi-cartoony style. It is West Side Story, yes. Great. It is on the Mohawk Superfly. What else have we got here? This is interesting. Huh. It looks like Marlon Brando's like an Indian or something, and then there's... Who the hell is that? They're very much like portraits on like a brown background, like sort of like pencil portraits. Is that a Henry Fonda or something? I have no idea what this is. What is it? Missouri Breaks? 1976. I have never, ever heard the term Missouri Breaks in my life. Missouri Breaks? I mean, I have never, ever heard that. Ever. Let me look it up. All these other things I've heard. I haven't seen all these movies, but I mean, I've heard of all these movies, but Missouri Breaks? The hell? That's Jack Nicholson. Wow. Does not look like Jack Nicholson. Missouri Breaks is a 1976 Western film starring Marlon Brando and Jack Nicholson. I've never heard of this. Have you heard of this? Uh-huh. Wow. I mean... Also starring Randy Quaid, Harry Dean Stanton, and other people that I don't know. Music was composed by John Williams. The title of the movie refers to a forlorn and very rugged area of north central Montana, where over eons the Missouri River has made countless deep cuts or breaks in the land. The movie chronicles a gang of horse thieves that set their sights on a Montana ranch, with Nicholson posing as a farmer who soon comes under the suspicion of Brando, an eccentric bounty hunter hired by the ranch's ruthless owner. In a May 24th, 1976 Time magazine interview, it was revealed that Brando changed the entire flavor of his character. A bounty hunter called Robert E. Lee Clayton, inventing a deadly hand weapon resembling both a harpoon and a mace that he uses to kill. I always wondered why, in the history of lethal weapons, no one invented that particular one. It appealed to me because I used to be very expert at knife throwing. So that's kind of cool. Marlon Brando created his own weapon. And he wondered why no one ever created a weapon. It's like a part harpoon, part mace. Wow. Because of several instances of animal cruelty inflicted during the filming of several scenes, which resulted in the death of one horse and the wounding of several others, this film appears on the American Humane Association's unacceptable list. Wow. Missouri Breaks. I've never heard of that before. I've got to see that. Sounds pretty good. I wonder if I could... Let me just see. There's some places where you can sometimes, Let me just see if it would be kind of... Hold on. I'm checking something. I'm just checking one thing. Hold on a second. I'm just checking it, okay? I'm not doing anything wrong, per se. Ooh, wait a second. Ooh, 30 and 42? Not bad. Wait a second. I don't want the... ISO. Get out of here with ISO. Damn. No, I'm not. Wait. Whoa. Here's one that's 1407. That's a little more reasonable. 11 and 15. AVI. Yeah. Okay. But it's the Missouri Breaks? Yeah, it is the Missouri Breaks. Okay. No, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go right out to Suncoast and buy that on DVD. Yes. Thank you. I have some... lemonade here. What else do we got here? Ah, more Star Trek. This is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Oh yeah, that's when they flew like one of those Klingon spaceships onto like 1980s, they time traveled or something. And there's a Golden Gate Bridge. It's like, did it crash into the Golden Gate Bridge? It's a really cool picture, though. It shows cars going over the Golden Gate Bridge and San Francisco skyline, again, with a big red sun and a sunset. And there's Kirk and Spock and McCoy, James Doohan, Uhuru, Scotty, and Sulu, George Takei, Wang. He's great on Howard Stern. He actually sometimes appears on Howard Stern's show. He also is getting married to his boyfriend. He may have already gotten married. What's his boyfriend? Greg or something? With all that. In California now, they can have a gay marriage. He came out of the closet, yes. Sulu is a gay man. Wait, I wanted to guess what this is. There's George C. Scott. Wait a second. Is that George C. Scott? And there's a boat, a fishing boat, and then there's different people. I have no idea what this is. Islands in the Stream. The hell? I never even heard of this movie. Islands in the Stream. It's a good picture, though. What else we got here? Ooh, looks like some rock and rollers. Oh, it's the last one. No. This has got to be hair, right? It's like hippie-type people, and their hair like blurs out. It's kind of a cool illustration. Yes, it is hair, 1979. Hippies, man. Look at the hippies. Yeah. That's cool. Then we have the production notes. When you want to look good on paper, Mohawk. Mohawk paper. Yes. Great. Well, these are very cool. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Maybe I should put them on the wall. I don't know. I got a lot of stuff that I haven't hung up anything yet. I think the rollerball one is the best, you know. Because rollerball was sort of like about a futuristic society that had like they were losing all their human rights, kind of like our current world. All right, let me put it back in the envelope here. That was a good buy for $5. The Missouri Breaks. 11 and 15. 1405, it could be a while. I don't know, but sometimes when you have too many, it doesn't work either, you know? A lot of bad seeds. What am I saying? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, the Missouri Breaks. Okay. Anyway, what else do we have here? I don't even know. There's so much stuff going on around here. Okay, the shoe thing. We'll talk about the shoe thing. This will be my last recording for the day, as it is getting late, and I think my wife's home. I don't know if she's home, though. I think I heard her come in. It's almost 10 o'clock. Where's the shoe thing? Ah, here we go. Here's the shoe thing. Let me finish up my hot Dr. Pepper. Mmm. I must say that's good, but you gotta get the sugar version. Gotta get Dublin Dr. Pepper. Or supposedly there's a couple other ones that have the sugar Dr. Pepper. But I've been hearing that the beverage industry may be moving away from that high fructose corn syrup because it's kind of like very unhealthy, you know. Not that I would like to just make it clear. I don't really drink a lot of soda like that. I drink it sometimes, but it's not an everyday thing for me. I like seltzer water and coffee. And pretty much water, seltzer water, and coffee are my big beverages. Though sometimes at work, I will have a diet Dr. Pepper as an indulgence. It's kind of nasty, all those chemicals in there, but I don't know. Sometimes. In all things moderation, that's a good one. Anyway, I got this Outside Magazine Buyer's Guide, summer 2008. I saw it at the magazine shops in the Port Authority bus terminal there in New York City. And I've been noticing recently that, you know, I really am kind of fascinated with this people having fun outdoors, hiking, mountain climbing, horseback riding, boating, whatever the people are doing outdoors. Like, I don't do it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I even have a Frisbee here I got. And like, I don't even have any way of using it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, different people have different trends in their life and different ruts and stuff. And like, I don't have any, what would you say? Like, I never do it. I never have fun in the sun outside. I go out and, I mean, I like hiking from time to time. I have hiked, I guess, but I just kind of don't do anything. So I've been kind of fascinated by this outdoor lifestyle that I'm sort of completely apart from. I just want to see what's out there. Like, it's kind of cool. You see, like, these sleeping bags that are almost like little sarcophaguses, and, like, people, like, some of them are made for, like, when it's really cold out. You could be, like, camping out in the winter, and, you know, it'll keep you warm down to, like, 20 degrees Fahrenheit, and all this stuff that people are doing and having all this fun. So I've been checking it out. It's kind of fun to see, you know, what's out there. And I see, like, something that might apply to me. A couple things might apply to me, and one of them are light hikers. hiking shoes. They look like kind of like sneakers. Light hikers. And the thing is, you know, I'm very hard on shoes because I do a lot of walking, actually. That is the one thing I do. I do walk around, but pretty much I walk around New York City. So I don't know if you can call that like sort of an outdoors kind of thing, but it is essentially like hiking because there's so many ups and downs and broken sidewalks and stepping up and down curbs and stairs. And you know what I mean? It is like hiking a lot, I think. A lot of rough surfaces, a lot of stuff. So, I mean, these are applicable to me. So the shoe of the year, basically, the top shoe of the year I saw here, you know, they're like reviews, you know, it's like a guide. It's a New Balance 850, right? Only $85, newbalance.com. And this looks like a great shoe. They write all about this. And I like the look of it, too. A lot of these shoes, I don't like the way they look. But this is nice. It's kind of like grayish green and whatever it is, it kind of all works. The 850 simply fit and felt better than all the rest. Its deep heel pocket and snug waist created a tailored fit, and the toe box never felt confining. A web of dual-density plastic sandwiched in the midsole supports the arch and keeps the shoe from buckling, yet still allows the four-foot section to bend easily. As one tester put it, it's perfectly balanced. And it just goes on and on, like praising this shoe. The New Balance 850, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, I could get that one. Because all the other ones, like some of them like have weird designs, like they're all silver and red, and I don't want that stuff. But this one looked like my kind of style, my kind of shoe. You know? So I went on the website, newbalance.com, and it's listed there. It is there. And it says where to buy. And it says, well, come to one of our New Balance stores. And it turns out, literally a couple blocks from where I work in New York City, there is a New Balance store. I'm like, wow, hey, I just hit the jackpot here. I want to get this shoe from New Balance, and there's a New Balance store right up the street. So I go to the New Balance store, and it's like on 52nd or like 51st Street and 3rd Avenue, something like that. And I go in, and I'm looking at the shoes. I don't really see this one. I ask the guy, I'm looking for this 850. It's like 850. Yeah, it's like a hiking shoe at 850. He's like, yeah, we had those. Yeah, we had those a long time ago. I'm like, yeah? Yeah, like we don't have those anymore. that's old. He's like, they made a new version. Like the next version of that was the 950. Like, they discontinued the 850. Then they made the 950. And we had those for a while too. But then they discontinued those too. And we don't even have those anymore. Like, what? I'm like, I have this. It's the shoe of the year. It's Outdoor Magazine Buyer's Guide. He's like, I don't know. Maybe you can go find them somewhere else, but I doubt anyone's going to have them. I'm like, what? But this is summer 2008. It's not even summer yet. Summer 2008 Buyer's Guide of Outside Magazine. So I'm like, all right. So I'm thinking, this guy's an idiot. What the hell? So I go onto the internet and start doing some searches and, you know, like the usual places don't have them, you know. Then I go to Zappos.com, the biggest shoe store online. They don't have them. I try a million different shoe places online. No one even has this at all. Every Google link that goes to a page, it's gone. The page is gone. I even go on eBay. Not a single... Jesse, he's smelling the lemonade. He got all like offended by the smell of lemons. Jesse, Mr. Jesse the cat. Hey, Jesse. Not a single auction. No outlets have it. It is completely gone. Now, I suppose it could be because it's popular, but it's like it's long gone. No one out there even has it. So what I'm wondering is, how the hell does this Outdoor Magazine have this listed as the shoe of the year when it is completely unavailable? And the successor is also completely unavailable. What is wrong with these people? So, I don't know. I just was briefly obsessed. I got to get something else then. What am I going to get? And I was looking at these other shoes in here. The Patagonia Drifter. And it's like these Chacos. What do you get? Chaco. And I looked at all these. And I'm like, nah. None of them are as good as the 850. So, whatever. As it turns out, though, the shoes I got at the when I went to that... remember, I took the train to the mall? If you go on the Overnight Escape Underground, you can go to... Rail Adventure to Crystal Run. And hold on, I'm going to change the music here. Need something a little more, a little different. You know what I'm saying? I bought these shoes, which is the It must have been, again, something that's like discontinued or something, but it was at this outlet kind of store. The Skechers Stout. And they're just great. In fact, I just walked like five or six miles the other day down to the ferry boat. In fact, that's upcoming on the Overnight Skip Underground Day 4. It's called Ferry Math. So you can look at that. And those my feet felt great. So I do have good shoes now. Anyway, let's check out the Overnight Skip Underground. You can go there from onsug.com. Or just go to theovernightskip.com and click on Underground, and you'll get there. There's a mass amount of good stuff on there for you to check out. I just released today three new tracks, Brownout, Edit, Dreams, and the Heat Wave, and Tunnel Exploring. This is great stuff. If you enjoy the Overnight Skip, you definitely should check out the Underground, because a lot of, like lately, a lot of the stuff, like a lot of the long field trips and stuff, I've been putting in the Underground instead of putting here on the Overnight Skip. Why don't we check out, randomly, just to give you the flavor, just to give you the flavor of the Overnight Skip Underground, let's check out Day 3 is in progress now. Day 3 is only an hour and a quarter left in the Day 3. Let's just, I'll randomly click around and you'll hear a little bit of it. Here is Night Pinball, the opening track. You can see ONSUG on the Overnight Skip Underground logo. In kind of a digital bit of stuff I really need to get transitioned over here so I can sidetracked. That's okay, because this is the Underground. That's just me talking, okay. Then we have Yellow Light, which is in New York City. 3 hours and 24 minutes long. Random.
And I came out here. I was thinking, should I take the subway? What am I going to get for breakfast? I was, and, you know, usually when I think about these things...
We're just randomly clicking around in here.
I really wonder how much longer they're going to have smoking legal on the streets of New York City.
What the hell is that?
I love going to the Museum of Modern Art, which normally costs Jungle, Cirque Dreams, Jungle Fantasy, created and directed by Neil Goldberg. And, the Monster Dog is great, but the thing is, like,
I'll skip past the UG parts, because those are just me talking, like
good morning
episodes of the Overnight Escape.
Here's
the Rail Adventure to Crystal Run.
Ready. Here's the Port Jervis train. I couldn't find him at first. Well, it was kind of cool seeing that.
Part two.
Weird stuff.
I'm in the mall.
Guys playing. What? Look at this. Oh, look at this. This Target over here. There's a corridor that goes to Target.
I had a great time at the mall.
Oh, man. The logo's, like, partially dismantled, I guess. Talk about Mercury Retrograde. What do I got? I don't know. I got to get my shaker. I need a shaker.
See what fun it is to check out the Overnight Skip Underground?
Now. There's a train coming! Shake the player up and down once. You should hear a shutter sound indicating the player has successfully skipped the next...
Talking about the Sansa Shaker. It was one of the car many. Here's the Hidden Parks, a very controversial episode. I talked about
birth the baby moths that have, you know, it's good. It's really are here in the future, like looking at me. Ooh. Arriving at the building of work. Obviously, you know. God, what are these people doing? What is going on?
Some good stuff. Oh, here's the Ripley's Auditorium grand opening. That was from last year. I'm just trying to show you. There's a lot of good stuff. Audio Street Fair Blues 2 was good. So much good stuff. So much good stuff for you to check out on the Overnight Escape Underground. Here's Space Jam.
Everyone's become like a lawyer these days. Went on, doing what they were doing. Went to this comedy show downtown.
Long form audio. I've been doing a lot more of the long form audio. A lot of it in New York City. And it's like just very long episodes of the Overnight Escape. You can check it out. Here's Edit Dreams in the Heat Wave. Some dreams.
Could say it is a quote-unquote inside job. Was, and now you know what the new thing is, but once you went to sleep, right, you would then, the new reality would then
yeah, man.
completely integrate into your memory. So you would simply remember.
This is
it. Just
and then I go into New York.
The heat index, faster internet, having more games.
This is actually a very cool piece. It's called "Edit Dreams in the Heat Wave." Is the name of the piece. It starts off with a dream review, and then the next day I review another dream with a similar theme as I'm walking through New York. Then I'm just walking through New York during the heat wave, and it's just this 1 hour and 17 minute piece, and it talks about this idea of editing reality. Like, you could change reality, and then you would just remember it as it was changed. Like, you know, you could create a whole new, like, chain of restaurants, and you could create it freshly, and then you would just remember it having existed. Very scary stuff. And here's Tunnel Exploring, an older recording that had been in the remained unreleased since last November. Here's a little bit of that.
Going off like black. Now, what the hell? It's like
a lot of great adventures on the Overnightscape Underground for you to check out. So why don't you go check that out? And I'm also putting them in the Internet Archive at archive.org. You just the best search term is just Owen Sugg, O-N-S-U-G. You search for that, you find it. Been very excited about that, I really like exploring long-form audio and this kind of stuff. And I think Audio Street Fair Blues 2 is really good, too. It's an hour and 25 minutes of just the audio of this street fair with live music and people all around. And it just, it's sort of an interesting audio world to enter. So, a lot of good stuff in the underground. Please check it out. Thank you. I don't know. I'm looking around. What else do we got here? Let me just briefly talk about my Sansa Shaker. This is a MP3 player from SanDisk. I got it for like $35. I've seen it for $20. It's like a little, looks like a little salt shaker, but it's an MP3 player. You press it and it goes on. And it has 512K of memory. It has a built-in speaker. I really don't know what that is. What I did was, my computer over there, I have like mass amounts of MP3s and all my CDs ripped in there and stuff. And I put 17 hours of random music on this Sansa Shaker. So I don't even know what this is. I don't know what a lot of my music is. But you can just go through it. But like just this little tiny device. And it. I like the fact that it has a built-in speaker. Go to the next song. What else do we have on here? Ooh. Is it Carlisle Wheeling, maybe? One of those Monkees. It must be on the Monkees folder. Oh, it's Listen to the Band. A little Mike Nesmith for you there. What's this? I love the Monkees. They're the best. They kick the Beatles' ass. Oh, yeah. That's the, we get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. People say we monkey around. We're too busy singing. Put anybody down. I want to be one of the Monkees. Could I go time travel and I couldn't. I'm too old at this point to be a Monkey. They don't want any 40-year-old Monkees back then. I basically re-ripped this stuff at 64K mono, so it fits 17 hours. A lot of Monkees randomly on there. What song is this? It's Mickey Dolenz. The hell is this? I like how I don't know any of my own music. What is it? Oh, I think it is more Monkees. Do I have to do this all over again? Didn't I do it right the first time? Have to do this all over again. How many times do I have to do this all this time? Right? From head? This is all monkeys. Salesman, where are you gonna go sell all of your goods today? Yeah, salesman, and it's along the streets, see friends along the way. Salesman, if you live long and it looks along while you walk. Salesman. Monkeys karaoke, I would really love to do that. I am kind of doing it. Wow. A lot of monkeys on this randomness, but anyway, that gives you an idea of the Sansa Shaker. It's really a very limited device. It's meant for children, but it, you know, I find that I do so many things on my computers that, like, half the time, if I try to play music on it, it'll start to crash or slow it down. So this is, you just click a button and you're good, you know? Plus it makes sound effects, too. If you shake it and it's off, it goes... If you have a need for that cartoon sound effect...
Hey, get out of here, you!
Whatever character that was.
Hey, boo-boo!
Whatever, you know. One character kicks another character in the ass and they fly through the air. I don't know. Whatever. It really doesn't have a random feature. They say it does, but it doesn't. But who cares? Who cares? The end. This has been the Overnight Escape. Yes, it's really getting towards the end of the show here. Every time I start a show, I'm like, yeah, this one will be short. I'll make this one 20 minutes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Let me get some different music here. This has been the Overnight Escape number 514. Thank you. I will see you next time on 7:15 here on the Overnight Escape. Now it's time for me to, do some post-production and then get some sleep.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Salesman, where you gonna go sell all of your goods today?